I just want to say good morning. We left off page Nun Aleph in the Mesilas Yesharim. So remember again, yesterday we saw the idea that the Mesilas Yesharim was explaining that if we take this approach that there is din, that there is divine judgment for anything and everything we do in this world, both big and small, then the shaila comes up, then what is the place or what is the purpose, what is the effect of Midas HaRachamim? So if you remember again, Mesilas Yesharim pointed out that Midas HaRachamim affects din in three ways. According to din, according to just basic, strict, unadulterated, divine strict justice, if a person goes ahead and sins, so there should be immediate punishment, number one. Number two, punishment should be overwhelming, should totally decimate the individual, violation of the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number three, there should be no possibility of any type of what's called commuting the sentence. There's no possibility to change anything. Once it's done, it's done. So says the Mesilas Yesharim, that's where Midas HaRachamim comes along. Midas HaRachamim comes and blunts the din, and says, A, that even when a person sins, first of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them time. Punishment is not immediate. Number two, even if there is punishment, the punishment need not be fully overwhelming. And number three, Midas HaRachamim gives us the gift of tshuva, that we have the ability to engage in this process that actually gives us the ability to fundamentally change, rewrite our past. He says, however, top of Nun Aleph, I think you may have read these lines, let's read it again. He says, second line in on page 9 Aleph, V'zeh chesed v'adai she'eno mishuras ha'din. And specifically over here, the concept of tshuva is certainly something that is a profound chesed that goes above and beyond that which is necessary. Ach al kol ponim hinehu chesed she'eno machish ha'din legamrei. But this chesed, this kindness, does not totally contradict the concept of divine justice. Shehari tzad yesh tzad lihi talos bo, shetachas haratzui shenis So this is very interesting. He says, for example, tshuva only works if a person replaces that same desire and benefit that they had with sin with a sense of remorse, regret, and pain as a result of having done the sin. V'chein arichos hazman einenu vitoron alachit ela savlanut kitzas liftoach lo pesach tikun. Similarly, this idea that Midas HaRachamim goes ahead and gives us time to go ahead and mend our ways is not vitoron alachit. Remember, we had that word before, the vatron. It's not that God's turning a blind eye to it. It's not that God is ignoring it. It's not that God is overlooking it. Rather, what is it? It's divine patience. It's divine patience. It buys us time to get things together. V'chein kol shar darchei chesed kinyan bira mizake abo. Good morning. So to all other forms of chesed, o miktas nefesh kechola nefesh, bira mizake abo, the Gemara says literally is that a son has the ability to benefit his father. What that specifically refers to is this notion that after a person dies, so remember, what's the scariest part of death? It's not really the cessation of life. The scariest part of death is that you can no longer do for yourself. Whatever you've done over 120 years in this world, that's what you have to subsist on for all eternity. That's the scariest part of death. But yet, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if I left behind children, so my children could go ahead and continue to do things for my soul. What an incredible... Why? You know, we're conditioned to think about these ideas, but why should that be true? On me, my child is my child. But again, Midas HaRachamim says that even once the father can no longer do for himself, the child can continue to do for him. Or, Miktsas Nefesh Kechol HaNefesh. He explains over here in the footnote, Miktsas Nefesh Kechol HaNefesh means that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he has to punish us, punishes us in a way that is representative of a greater punishment, but yet without all the difficulty and pain of punishment. What he's pointing out over here is that even sometimes in, not even sometimes, but even within din, there are these elements of rachamim. He says, "Hamuskam d'yecham darchei chesed him lekabel asamot kimeruba." Ach lo misnagdim umachishim mamish midas adin, ki kvar yesh boim tam hagun lahachshiv osam. But also, he keeps coming back to this basic idea, which is, remember, rachamim is wonderful. Rachamim buys us time. Rachamim is able to commute part of the sentence. Rachamim is able to open up doors for us, savlanut. But rachamim does not go ahead and negate the fact that we are responsible for anything and everything we do. Ach shi vachshu averos b'lo klum, o shlo yushkach aleim. But to think that God is going to simply give us a pass on our sins without any kind of ramifications, or that he won't pay attention to them, this is absolutely contrary to the concept of divine justice. Ki kvar lo hayo mishpat v'din amiti b'dvarim, al kin ze'i efshar di matze klal. So we'll say, you should just know, I think that this is one of these aspects that we struggle with in terms of our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, because we like to have this conception of God as Avinu Av HaRachamon. We like to have this idea that God is a compassionate God, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a compassionate God. But like in any life relationship, what do you have? You have accountability. Accountability. Just like in a marriage, in a relationship with parents, you can't just simply bank on your spouse or your parent always forgiving you and always giving you a pass. You have to be accountable for what you do. The relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam is no different. And if it turns out that, let's say, you don't use rachamim in the right way, Kodesh Baruch Hu will be exacting with midas hadin. V'chid amru chachaminu zechorim levracha, ma'arich apei, v'gavei dilei. So here the Yerushalmi says it quite explicitly. God has incredible compassion, v'gavei dilei, but he will collect that which is his. Which is another way of saying that, yes, rachamim is there, but din never goes away. Nimtza. So we'll say, now this is how the Messias Yisharim ends this perek. So now he's going to wrap it all up. Nimtza she'in la'adam harotze lefkoach einav pitui shiyuchal hispatos bo. So it turns out that someone who wants to go ahead, here if you look at footnote 103, he says, harotze lefkoach einav lahakir be'emes v'lo yahalich b'malach hergel ki'iver ba'afelo. That it turns out that if a person wants to go ahead and open up their eyes and to understand exactly what it means to live successfully, he says, levilti hizar b'masov tachlis hazihirus, that a person wants to accept upon themselves the essence of zihirus, uledakdek v'am tachlis hadikduk, hein kol eila hashkafot shiyashkif aleim ha'adam. I have given you all the proper outlooks that a person needs. The yikne bom midas hazihirus vaday in bal nefeshu. And go and acquire for yourself the midah of zihirus. If a person ultimately is a bal nefesh, if a person truly cares about the nature and direction of their life. So we'll say, let's summarize, because Baruch Hashem, we just finished our, well, actually, we didn't totally finish. We have parakeh still. But let's summarize until now. So summarize until now, the midah of zihirus means living life with a sense of contemplation. What does contemplation mean? So it doesn't mean, you know, sitting Indian style, you know, like this and humming. What does contemplation mean? Well, I'm sorry. That's wasting time. Right? But what does zihirus mean? So zihirus means step number one. What is the tov ha'amiti? What is the ultimate good towards which I am working towards? It says because so many people go through life, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. So what is it in your mind's eye that you are working towards? Once you know where you're going, then ultimately you have the ability to figure out what are the actions that fit into that, what are the actions that advance that agenda, and what are the actions that derail the agenda. And furthermore, so obviously you know what to do and what not to do. Even within what to do, the good actions, you then have to try to figure out how can you better refine those actions in order to be able to get you where you need to go. How do we convince people that they need to acquire the midah of zihirus? So the Messiah Sharm said, well, it depends. For the Shlemi Hadas, for the person who are more complete in their thinking, it's very simple. Complete people or whole people want one thing. That's to live meaningfully. If you tell them in order to live meaningfully, you need this midah of contemplation, they'll take it. For the Pechusei Hadas are more motivated by sometimes not being one-upped by someone else. So if you tell them ultimately that you'll have a better Olam Haba, you'll have more in Olam Haba, if you go ahead and use this midah of zihirus, okay, they'll buy into that as well. But then the Shem says, well, let's put all that aside. At the end of the day, what's the greatest motivation for acquisition of the midah of zihirus? Is the concept of din. The concept of there is an accounting for everything and anything we do. We are held accountable for every single action, big or small. What about rachamim? we explain the interface between rachamim and din. But the knowledge that I am going to be accountable for every single one of my actions after 120, and there is not a blind eye turned to anything, is the greatest motivation for acquiring the midah of zihirus, of contemplation, in order to know that all of my actions are done in a methodical, mesudar fashion. Let's begin Parakei. The there mafsida zihirus v'archak amehem. So just skip. We're not doing those hashlamos there. So you could skip to page nun dalet. That's extra credit. So skip to page nun dalet. So now he says, so this chapter, the there mafsida zihirus v'archak amehem. What are the things in life that detract from zihirus, right? Mafside, detract from zihirus, varchakamehem, or distance us from that trait. So he writes, Hine, mafside hamida hazosu machikayim shlosha. And this is very profound. There are three things. There are three things that prevent us or derail us from acquiring this mida. Ha'echot, huatipul vahatirda ha'olamis. So the first one is, so also, how would you translate this phrase? Tipul and tirda olamis. Trials and tribulations, or you know what? It's even simpler. It's busy. Busyness. Literally means tipul is involvement. Tirda, like tarud means yeah, you know, involved. Yeah, involved. So, olamis, of the world. Really, what you're going to see us talking about over here is that we're just simply too busy. Hasheni, haschok vahalotzo. The second thing that takes away from zihiros is levity and silliness. Levity and silliness. Right? Hashlishi hachever hara. And the third thing that derails us is negative, keeping company with people who are not a good influence. Unidaber bohem echad le'echad. Let's talk about them one by one. So let's at least begin this today. Hine atipo vahatir dakvar divarne mehem lamalo. We already spoke about the busyness a little bit, and in the footnote over here, he quotes in Perek Beis and Gimel, we did speak about this idea that one of the ways the Yetzirah works in order to go ahead and when we say Yetzirah, like we always say, we're not talking about the little guy with the pitchfork on your shoulder. We don't believe in that, right? The Yetzirah ultimately either pushes and pulls internally. But one of the ways that sometimes we sabotage ourselves is we busy ourselves with things that are really not important. It's really not important, and so by definition, we deprive ourselves of the time necessary in order to advance our lives. So he says, "Ki biyos ha'adam tarud b'inyanei olamo." When a person is just over-involved in things in this world, hine machshavosav asuros bezike hamasa asuros bezike hamasa asher aleihem. This is such a profound statement. His thoughts are literally enslaved, or asuros almost means like bound, bound is bound the right word. Bound, like Matir Asurim, where they're bound, Bezike Hamaso, in the chains of life burden that is upon us. The E F Shalahem Lossay Slave El Hamaisa. And we are not able to go ahead and think about our actions. So we'll say, you know, I just want to tell you this. I'm sure we all have this. I walk out of the house this morning, right? And you realize it's Thursday. So another week coming to a close, and the truth is, I'm sure, Baruch Hashem, you're probably better than me, but the most difficult part of when it's Thursday is what happens. You realize to yourself, all of the things you wanted to accomplish, many of the things that you had in mind to do, just it didn't happen. And the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times the reason those things don't happen is not because they couldn't happen. It's because sometimes we don't have the right seder in life to get everything in order to accomplish the things we need to do. So says Mesas Hasharim, that is the greatest danger of existence. Busyness. He's not necessarily talking about over here getting involved in things that are a waste of time, but he means just life is busy. And sometimes people lose themselves in the manic pace of life to such a degree that they just get involved in what it is that they're doing without any kind of time for contemplation. Let's read one more line. The Chachamim Alei Mashalom Bir Osam Ze Amru Hevi Memait BeEsik BeAsuk BeTorah. That's what Chazal said in Pirkei Avos. Literally, diminish your Esek. Diminish Esek could mean work, involvement, va'asuk b'Torah. and learn Torah. So Rabotai, it's not Chazal saying quit your job and get into Kollel, right? Because the truth is, for most of us, that's not feasible. But what it does mean is make sure that whatever it is that you're doing in life doesn't overwhelm you to the point that you have absolutely no time to focus on the quality and trajectory of your existence. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with this tomorrow in the session.